Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
So guys, do you want the infected to be with us or not? Because if not, then we can turn on the UV light and keep them at bay. So maybe let's do this, Peter. Let's like... Cool. So welcome to our safe zone. We are in high humors because we had some technical problems over the last two sessions. So like, it was really stressful for us. But I hope this will go well. And I'm sure this will go well. My name is Timon Smektau. I am a lead designer at the project at Techland. At Techland, we have a team of 200 people working hard to bring you Dying Light 2. And it is a very exciting time for us because we have been working on this game for quite some time and we were trying to keep it a secret. We managed to keep it a secret, but now the moment has finally come to tell all of you, to tell the world what we've been working on. And I think it's really going to be special, and I hope you will see that it is a game unlike another. But before we go into the meat, before we see the cool stuff, first a quick reminder. So Dying Light, the original one, was released 3 years ago, and it was a tremendous success for our studio. It was a milestone. So we reached a huge audience of 30 million players, and that's an audience that is still active to this day. Each week, 500,000 players still logs on to play our game three years after the release. So it's a huge number, and it's an awesome community. Community whose enthusiasm was an inspiration and gave us confidence to work on a truly bold sequel to Dying Light. And the sequel started with an idea. It started with a unique setting, strikingly unique one. A setting we call the modern Dark Ages. So imagine it has been 15 years since humanity lost its war with the infected, and the whole world got brutal, primal, and merciless. There are no governments, there are no morals, there are no laws, and this is where it gets interesting for us, because we can examine a world that has collapsed and now tries to rise from the ashes. The game takes place in the city, a fictional European metropolis, once prosperous, once rich, once beautiful, and now probably the last human settlement still struggling to survive. In this unique setting, we are giving you a game which takes everything people love about Dying Light: parkour, melee combat, day and night system, and we add completely new layers of depth to the experience. So now it is a true parkour game, where you will have to adapt your skills to environment and you will face difficult parkour puzzles. You will be able to master deep and tactical melee combat system, which combines parkour attacks, interactions with environment, weapon modding, and a plethora of skills. This really is complex, and we hope, we feel, that this level of complexity is a first for FPP melee games. And also, you will experience a new dimension of our day and night system, which constantly shifts and changes the rules of gameplay, giving you new ways to complete the objectives. But at this year's E3, we are focusing mostly on a new addition to Dying Light, a new element of Dying Light 2, the narrative sandbox, the power of choice. As you play the game, you will face many difficult dilemmas, and the choices you make through gameplay, through dialogue, through exploration, will transform the world around you. This is a huge undertaking. This is a crazily ambitious take on the narrative. So we're not that stupid to do it by ourselves. So we got some help. We asked Chris Avellone, legendary game designer and master of non-linear narratives, guy known from Fallout New Vegas and Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and he's helping us to shape this world of modern Dark Ages of Dying Light 2. And we also got some help from our Warsaw studio, where currently former members of Witcher 3 writing team are responsible for some of the best quests from that game, including the Bloody Baron questline, are helping us with this. But of course, we understand that it's better to show than to tell. So without further ado, let me welcome you again to the city.
Peter, you ready?
Hello.
So this guy here, he's Peter Pawlaczyk. He's our lead level designer and also probably the best Dying Light 2 player in the world.
For now.
For now, of course. This is a live demo. He plays it. And there are a few quite difficult sequences in it. So keep your fingers crossed that everything goes well and goes smoothly. And it may not, because we had like one or two hiccups along the way today and yesterday. So guys, the mission we are about to play takes place in an early part of the game. The player has just arrived to the city and he needs to get himself recognized by various factions that operate in it. And a chance to do that comes soon enough, because there are some rumors about a nearby water tower that some people are trying to get up and running again. No one knows if there is any truth to all of this, but one of the factions, the Peacekeepers, they have sent an emissary there to investigate. We happen to learn that this emissary is gone, and we see this as an opportunity. We can go there by ourselves, check out what has happened, and that will get the faction to recognize us. We can get some reputation within that faction. But first, we need to find the water tower. You can't see that many infected on the streets during the day because most of them hide inside buildings and other dark places to avoid the sun. But if they don't manage to find shelter in time, they turn into weak and shambling degenerates, like this guy here. But of course, they're not really a threat to the best Dying Light 2 player in the world. And speaking of the world, as you can see, it is thoroughly devastated by all of the bad things that have happened over those 15 years. You will see traces of past events. The military operations, the war between humans and the infected, the looting, the pillaging, the fall of technology, the whole story of apocalypse is here. Some bandits there, and as you can see, even without the infected roaming the streets, the city is still a very dangerous place. So let's try to find a different way, because there are too many of those guys. Well, speaking of choices, perhaps this wasn't the wisest one, because that's the nest of the infected, a dark place. The infected sleep here during the day, waiting for the night to come. And the interesting bit is that places like this are usually not looted, so we want to explore them. But to be really able to do this, we would have to go back here at night. But for now, we just want to find a way through, so let's try to sneak by. But don't start with shining a light on their faces, Peter. So don't get too close. Don't make too much noise. Chasing, so cool. Well, thankfully we are in the sun, and I think it's clear to see why they don't like it. And that's why they hide inside buildings for the day. Okay, we managed to go through. So now let's head to the rooftop and see if we can find the water tower.
Water source.
There's some survivors walking around the city. You will see plenty of people like this as you play the game. It is a living place. And the city itself is a parkour playground. You can go anywhere you want in the city, and to give you even more freedom, we have doubled the number of parkour moves. The moves are easy to learn, but only if you master them, you'll be able to adapt to environment and zip through the city. There it is, the water tower. Okay, so that's the Peacekeeper's Citadel, the main HQ of that faction. Okay, so there's a line, you can try to a rope, you can try to grab it. Follow that up with a jump, and then a knife slide. Okay, someone's here.
Now we're to bingo. Speed it up. Remember, this is a game changer for us. Once we're done and sell all this shit, we'll fucking own this place.
Well, this is interesting because it seems the bandits we met earlier are looting a dark place using UV lights to keep the infected at bay. They must have something valuable there, so we can wait till they bring it out, bring all of it out, but then we'll have to face the whole group. But we can use the fact that some of them are inside and try to loot the looters right now. Okay, one guy is down. So one guy left, it should be easy, but with humans it never is. Okay, and the next one is coming, quite heavy, still manageable. And they're blowing their horns, so we spent too much time here, it's time to escape, because they will give chase, the reinforcements will come. Please, Peter, escape.
Trying.
You use a parkour? Yep. Cool. You have to look for the heavy guys because they can really shook you, shake you. Okay, but they have archers and the guy is coming here, so we need to run. Okay, they continue to chase, so we need to keep running. Stay focused. Thanks for the trees. Okay, let's see if they can see us. So wait a little bit and then go back to the water tower. They will not give chase. Okay, so we are inside, but of course the bottom is empty, so we need to reach the top. And the way up there involves a new gameplay element of Dying Light 2, a parkour puzzle. Here you have to look at the environment, choose the route you want to follow, and then execute all of your moves quickly, constantly monitoring your stamina. So that's the stamina bar. As you can see, the stamina goes down with each move. But it's not always about stamina. Sometimes it is about executing a difficult parkour move without a mistake, like this wall run here. A monkey bar jump, and we're good. Cool. So the first floor is behind us, but we're still not there yet, so it seems we have to make that jump. So this is where we're going. So again, a wall run, quite difficult. Then try to grab the pipe. Good. And climb up. No, no, it was okay, it was okay. Like, you did worse. But the stamina is going down, so don't waste any time. We're in the red now. Make the jump. Cool. Oh, that was quite a climb. Okay, the doors are closed. This is closed as well.
Like always.
Like always. So let's go outside once again. Cool. If you're afraid of heights, don't look down. And this looks like an elevator some people might be using to get to the top. So perhaps there is someone up there. Let's check it. But first we need to make that jump. As you can see, it's moving, it's physics based, and that's also one of the smaller new things that we have added to Dying Light 2. Right now, as you explore the city, there are physics based objects that you can use while you parkour or climb. And there are people inside, but do they know anything about the Peacekeeper? Let's check it out.
How'd you get in?
Or better yet, what the fuck do you want?
I'm just checking in. I heard a rumor an emissary's gone missing.
Emissary?
You know, people the faction sent to cut deals.
Yeah, a peacekeeper came up here.
He, left. Yeah, he's gone.
Wait, as in gone? Gone?
As in flew out the window.
Goddamn factions and their final offers. Fuck 'em. We're our own men.
So it seems those guys weren't too friendly to the peacekeeper, but before we make any decision, let's gather some more info.
Wait, did you just confess to killing a PK emissary?
Negotiations hit a wall. He hit the ground.
What's it to you anyway? You with those pricks?
No. But you know what'll happen if the PK's here, you killed one of their men.
Who's gonna tell him? You?
If so, you're leaving out the window too.
So now we are confronted with a choice. We can either avenge the peacekeeper and help that faction move here, or we can try to cut a deal with Jack and Joe. Each decision has its consequences, but since you want the faction to recognize us, let's stand up for the peacekeepers and serve justice to those guys.
I gave you a chance. You wanna die? Come on then.
Okay, so that's a fight we cannot avoid. Of course, quite brutal, as always in Dying Light. But this time around, also very tactical. Because Jack is quite a fighter. He will keep pushing, so you have to move on the battlefield. You have to create an opening or wait for one. You have to use the correct attacks and don't risk it because he will punish you. He got us. Bam, that hurt. Yeah, I know what you're planning here. Grab the bucket. Bam! That's it. Cool. Well, you got lucky, guys. What was I supposed to say? Okay, yeah, so Jack is gone. And now we can tell the peacekeepers to move here and take over the water tower. And we have earned a good look at the city, and as you can see, it is sprawling. The size of the map is about 4 times as big as all of the maps from Dying Light 1 combined. You can go to each of those places, find new quests, new locations, new people to interact with. It is a huge game, and as you'll soon see, it offers a lot of replayability. Because we made a decision, right? We decided to help the peacekeepers take over the water tower. So let's see what kind of an impact this can have on the game world. So a few weeks later, the peacekeepers are here. Okay, so the peacekeepers' patrols are clearing the streets of bandits quite brutally, without any mercy, and they also clean out the dark places of infected. But since they move in heavy armor, they have installed a lot of their equipment here. Equipment which allows them to move through the city. But we can use it as well.
Come on in.
There is also a visual change. You can clearly tell the peacekeepers rule here. And since the water flows for free, everyone can use it, including the player who gets an additional way to heal himself while he explores the city. So we did a good thing, right? But there's never an easy choice in the world of Dying Light 2, because the peacekeepers, they rule with an iron fist.
I know not who can hear my voice. I shall therefore speak a word unto here. Anyone who dares to steal food will be hanged, and their bodies will be exposed.
That's just deserved.
Maybe so, but did you hear anything about a trial?
No. Was there one?
Nope. No, there was not. That's how PK justice works.
They will punish anyone who disobeys their laws, and one day this may even be the player. But for now, we did something good for them.
You made the right call, man.
So they let us enter the little base they have up here. And from this perspective, from the top of the water tower, you can see that the whole region is different. The peacekeepers have moved here, one decision led to another, and new groups have appeared here. Groups that obey the peacekeepers' rule. And of course you can go to those places. You can talk to those people, you can see what they want, you can make choices, you can make decisions, and take the narrative in a new direction. But all of this could look different, right? Peter, don't be a child. No, at the last one you'll do it, but not this time around. So we made a choice, but we could make a different choice. So let's assume we didn't help the peacekeepers, and we decided to cut a deal with Jack and Joe. Let's see how that could change the world.
So we didn't tell peacekeepers anything about the water tower. And we cut a deal with Jack and Joe. And few weeks later, this is a different place. More messy, more chaotic, perhaps more dangerous. Definitely less well kept.
Give me some water.
The survivors are suffering, at least some of them, and we have to depend on our own parkour skills to move around the city. The water is being shoaled, so it's not free anymore, and we now cannot use it to heal ourselves using the fountains. But on the other hand, the business seems to be going quite well for Jack and Joe. And since we made a deal with them, it is our business as well. So now we can get our share of the profits.
Well, hello, partner. Everything flows in the right direction, huh? Here's your cut.
And we can also continue to work with those guys, and who knows where that will take us. So now let's climb to the top and see if anything else has changed. It's not only the water tower itself, now its vicinity that's different. The whole region has changed. The law enforcing peacekeepers avoid this place, and this allowed other types of groups and elements to emerge. Places like La Puerta, a thriving black market where people from all around the city exchange goods and services, illegal substances, and powerful weapons. We believe that Dying Light 2 is the first game of its type where choices have genuine consequences on the game itself, how it looks, how it plays, to events that occur. It is your choices that allow you to create your own version of this city. But will it survive? In Dying Light 2, you decide.
You know the drill. Get to the nearest safe house and wait until dawn. Good night, and good luck.
So guys, thank you for watching the E3 presentation of Dying Light 2. And we still have some time, so if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Are you making this easy for me?
Any VO talent that we know
of? We're not discussing this yet. Like, we're still in the production, we still have some time to record everything, so we're not revealing this yet. Yes, you craft your own weapons, and the thing is that as all of the systems have been upgraded, expanded upon, or written anew, and I think the crafting system is really quite new when you compare it to the old one. So the idea for the old one was that if you looked at it, you could only add about 5 effects to your weapons. Right now it's about 50, and you can make different combinations of them. So the number of actual combinations in the weapons is astonishing, and you can create the weapon that best suits your gameplay style.
Cool. As you said, you know, your choices have big consequences. How's the save system work? Are you able to save before those big choices?
No, you make your choices and you have to live with the consequences. But of course, we invite you to replay the game and see different outcomes. And the other thing is that because of your choices, your city will look in a specific way, but your friend's city will look in a different way. He will make different choices with different outcomes. And then the game supports 4-player co-op. And when you join his game, you get to see how his city looks like. And when he joins yours, he'll see your city. So this is also a way to support co-op. Now people will like to play with others to see other versions of this world.
How many hours do you expect the main campaign to be?
Oh, that's the trickiest question you can give me. Because to be honest, I don't know. Like, I can give you some number, let's say 15. But this will be different for each of the players, for every player. So like, I don't want to answer this because this is almost like I'm just making this number for you to give you something. But this is a huge game. This is a game that will, like, you will get your money worth out of that investment. And that's the day-night system, which changes the rules of the game. There is a multiplayer component, so you will really get what you like, the value of your investment. Let's say tenfold. Yes.
Any new tools to help with like parkour, like to make it even more fluid or faster?
Yeah. So you saw some of the examples here. So for example, the knife slide, the things that the peacekeepers install, the elevators, let's say rope elevators, and there are other things like that that really help you to traverse the city as fluidly as you want. And also you get access to new skills like the monkey bar jumps and stuff, like more emphasis on wall runs, almost double jumps that you can execute in certain situations. So it really expands your moves and your possibilities as you parkour through the city.
Okay, last question.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
At the last one, so it's tomorrow at I think 5 p.m.
Well, the choice is always be between two things.
No. So we are really, this is something we are aware of, that this would be boring. So the choices, this is easy to explain, guys. You see the choice, you make that choice, but usually the choices are between more options, and even the way how you make those choices is different for each of those decisions. So it's not always like that when you come to a place in dialogues and now you have to decide something. Sometimes it's about you making that choice through gameplay. Do I pull the trigger on that guy? Well, not actually push the guy. Do I push the guy off the ledge or not? Sometimes it's about you failing a mission or not. And so that you have a lot of ways to impact the story, how it flows and how it changes the world and the city.
Okay, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.